Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello once again, everyone. I'm Ray Shasho, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. For over 50 years, John Mayall has served as a pioneer of blues music, rightly earning him the title the Godfather of British Blues. In 2013, John signed with producer Eric Korn's label, 40 Below Records, and has since been experiencing a true artistic and career renaissance, including a Blues Hall of Fame induction in 2015. On February 22nd, 40 Below Records will release Nobody Told Me, the new studio album from the Godfather of British Blues, John Mayall. As with his last handful of albums, Mayall again shares production duties with 40 Below founder Eric Korn, who also handles engineering and mixing duties. The album boasts an impressive and diverse list of guest guitarists, all personal favorites of Mayall, including Todd Rundgren, Little Stephen Van Sant of the E Street Band, Alec Lyson from Rush, Joe Bonamassa, Larry McRae, one of my favorites, and Carolyn Wonderland, who will be joining the band on tour. Also on hand are Mayall's dynamic Chicago rhythm section of Greg Arzab on bass guitar and Jay Davenport on drums, along with Billy Watts on rhythm guitar and Mayall's regular horn section, moonlighting from their day job in the late show with Conan O'Brien's house band. The album was recorded at the Foo Fighters Studio 606 on the same legendary Sound City Nerve console his one-time protégés from Fleetwood Mac used to record parts of the best-selling Rumours album. This project has been a true labor of love for me, and I can't wait for people to hear the fireworks that took place, beams Mayall. Nobody told me, an apt title for the blues icon who suffered a recent unexpected health scare shortly after recording the album. But the seemingly ageless road dog, who famously takes no days off and carries his own gear on tour, has been given a clean bill of health and plans to return to his usual grueling tour schedule to support his release. Please welcome the Godfather of British Blues, the legendary John Mayall, to Interviewing the Legends. Hey, John.
Hello. Well, that certainly was a big introduction, wasn't it?
Actually, it was short. You got so much, you know, going on, and what a history you got, man. It's incredible.
I thought it would never end.
I don't think it'll ever end.
No, I don't think so.
I covered your 80th birthday show in Sarasota, Florida. And I gave it tremendous reviews, and I became a fan of Larry McRae on that day. I think this was 2013. I was there. I knew the promoter, and I asked him for a copy of the set list. And you know what he did? He grabbed me and threw me in your dressing room. I don't know if you remember that or not.
No, there's so many shows. I mean, they all kind of blur together after a while.
I like Larry a lot. You know, I was really impressed, and Larry's on your new album, and I love the two tracks that he's on.
Yes, I know. He's really a great player. Wonderful contribution, too, to the album.
Well, you know, I used to tell Johnny Winter that he was the hardest working man in showbiz. I think it's you.
Well, I wouldn't deny that.
Do you still like touring like you used to in the early days? Or, I mean, you know, I'm 60 years old, and I don't think I can do it.
Well, you know, the thing is about music is that it's always an adventure, and it's always great to work with the people that you love to work with. And, you know, we get up on stage, and we get up to all sorts of antics that perhaps never occurred to us, you know, because unlike a lot of groups, we don't have play the same things every night. So there's a lot of freedom involved, so thoroughly enjoyable, and I hope that the audiences respond as usual to us on our upcoming tour.
Oh, the audience loves you. I mean, you know, it's how many chances do you get to see a legend up on stage, you know?
Well, I don't know. I do the best I can.
The new album, I gave it 5 stars, John. I really, really love it.
For us, it was a real pleasure. You know, as regards for guests, guitar players who came out of the woodwork, you know, I didn't specifically choose them, but, you know, when the word got out that we were going to be looking for, you know, guitar players who were favorites of mine or people, you know, I'd like to listen to, these are the people who came out of the blue and wanted to take part in it. So, of course, I was very surprised that quite a few of them were, you know, very well known, and, you know, it really came together so well that they put their heart and soul into it.
It's an excellent album. You should be very, very proud of this one.
I certainly am, yes. I know it really rocks.
Well, Larry's on the Moon Is Full, which is one of my favorites. Love that track. Who played what on that track? Was there guitar? Did Larry play guitar? Did he switch off with you? Or how did that work out?
Well, Larry was one of the ones that got the finished tapes without the guitar, without the lead guitar. So, you know, he put on what he wanted to put on to it. And that was the case with all of them except for Joe Bonamassa, who was in L.A., and he was available to come down to the studio. But everybody else, we just sent them the complete backing tracks, and they put their mark on it, what they wanted to do. So that was how it worked.
Yeah, I can imagine. Evil and Here to Stay, that's got Alex Lifeson, of course, from Rush. That's a slow, another excellent track, slow blues. What did Todd do? Todd's been a guest here on this show many times. What did he do on That's What Love Will Make You Do? What did he play? Because he's such a, you know, multi-instrumentalist.
Well, he played guitar, you know.
He played guitar.
One of the lead guitar players, but like I said, I didn't, you know, we've met him from time to time on the road, but,
right.
You know, didn't meet him on this particular occasion for making the album.
And then you got Carolyn Wonderland, which is a great addition to the band, and she'll be on tour with you, right?
Yes, she's going to be setting foot on stage with us on this big European tour that's coming up. So I think people are looking forward to seeing her playing with us.
She's an American blues singer, songwriter, musician. She's married to a comedian, right? Whitney Brown? A. Whitney Brown?
Now, that's something I don't know about. I think you're ahead of me there. All I know is that she's a great guitar player and a great personality, and I think people will look forward to hearing her.
The Hurt Inside, also, again, Larry McRae, another one of my favorite tracks. I kind of said on this one, I don't know if you agree or not, if Sammy Davis Jr. sang the blues today, it would sound like this track. He had that kind of voice.
Well, I don't know. It's hard to judge.
Yeah. And then Steve Van Zandt, of course, on It's So Tough. Carolyn did Like It, Like You Do. Very fun tune. That's a great tune. That's another thing.
Yeah, I think all the songs that we chose were, you know, very exciting to play, and I think that's what I look for. If I do songs by other people, they have to sort of be an inspiration to me that I can make a connection with them, and you know, so that's how it works for me, you know.
Yeah. A lot of musicians, later in life, they like to mix it up in the band. You know, they like to bring in newer, younger musicians and, you know, kind of change. Is that what happened with Rocky when he's not in the band anymore? I noticed a lot of bands doing that.
I don't really know. I mean, I pick musicians who we get along with and have a great time on the road and everywhere else. And it's, you know, it's always part of my musical passage. And Rocky was a great addition to the band, you know. Well, so that was self-evident. And he's doing very well on his own, as he always has done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I talked to, you know, Ian Anderson likes to mix it up a lot from Jethro Tull, and I was surprised when he got Martin Barr wasn't in the band anymore. But you know, he's doing well too. You know, sometimes you need to do that.
If you're really sincere about your music and right. want to do the best you can and make it relevant to the modern times, you know, you really try to strive for that, and hopefully it always reaches people the way it should be.
Right. I think the collaboration between you and Eric is awesome. I mean, he's a producer. I guess you co-produced this album with him. He's the engineer.
Eric is got a really, really fine ear for music and capturing whatever we do. I think, you know, the fact that we do every song with only, you know, one or two takes at the very most, you know, he captures the live atmosphere of a studio. So, you know, we get on very well together, and you know, we work well, and it will continue, I hope.
Where'd you meet Eric?
I can't really remember. I think I don't really remember. He was one of the engineers at the studio when we did. I can't remember the name of the album now. There were so many, but you know, that's how we met. He was the engineer in one of the studios that we worked on.
Yeah, I believe he produced what, three studio albums with you. He did Special Life, Find a Way to Care, and Talk About. I mean, you had that album with Joe Walsh, I guess, was on that.
Yes.
Album? Yeah. And he's done some remixing with the old Fleetwood Mac, I think.
Well, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, we work well together, and what more could you ask for?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a great collaboration between you two.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Recording this album, how do you compare this album with some of the albums you recorded, say, in the past 10 years or so? Anything different?
Well, it's the same way of going into it. The important thing is to capture the live feeling of it.
Right.
You know, like if you do more than a couple of takes, you can tell if it's the right thing. You know, so it's important to get the spontaneity that you would get on a live performance and translate that into studio terms. So, you know, I think the main thing is that when we record an album, the backing tracks, if you want to call them that, you know, which is the heart and soul of the song, you know, we're only in the studio for 3 days in a row, and everything gets done in that particular time.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can learn from that. You know, if you sound live in the studio, I mean, you got it made, you know? I mean,
it's really important to capture that live feeling.
Exactly. You've recorded, I don't know, I lost count of all the albums you made. It's like over 100 albums. I mean, that should be a record.
I don't know. It's quite a lot of them anyway.
How do you keep so fresh with recording albums? I mean, you know, I'm a writer, and I've got a couple of books out there, and I got a new book coming out. But even that's, it's hard to stay focused, you know, doing new things like that. I just can't imagine how you just stay fresh with all these albums that you've recorded.
Well, the distance between the release dates of the albums is certainly time enough for passage of time to come up with some new ideas.
Right.
You know, I've never found any trouble with coming up with new material.
It's amazing.
So I think it's important for me to keep putting down on record the things that cross my mind.
When do you do your best collaboration or writing, you know, material? I mean, is there a certain time during the day? Do you go for a walk? Does it come out in the middle of the night?
No, it's nothing really elaborate. I mean, there's no tricks to it. I mean, I can't read or write music, so, you know, it has to be done in the studio, really. So if we're going to be in the studio for an album, then I round up subject matter that will inspire the song idea, and I don't know, it comes very, very, very quickly.
You know, musicians that can't read or write music and come out with so many classic, you know, songs, to me, that's genius. I play guitar too, and it's not that easy to just come up with things like that, you know?
Well, I don't know. The main thing is that music can express the emotions of things that will happen to any person's life. So as long as you're having an interesting life, I think you've got more than enough material to write songs about them.
Well, I think you have had an interesting life.
it's working out pretty well so far.
Now, not too many people know this unless you go on the internet. Your wife is Maggie, right? Maggie Mayall?
Well, that's long gone. We were divorced.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Years ago. So you've got the up-to-date news on that one.
There you go. But she was a blues singer as well, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent singer.
Yeah, I saw a few things she did on YouTube with Coco Montoya. And,
yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was definitely good. Yeah.
Well, I was the best.
Yeah, well, sorry about that. I didn't know that.
Well, you know.
Time
marches on.
Time marches on, exactly. The current members of the band, I guess this is the touring band, is you. Greg Arzab, which he plays bass.
Yep.
Sometimes he plays drums. He's been with the band, I guess, since 99 or so. Greg is an interesting guy because he actually auditioned with the Rolling Stones. And he hung out with Clapton, and he played a gig, I think, with Jimmy Page, which is interesting.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's been around, so, you know, we've known each other for many years,
right.
And it's an excellent contribution he makes to the music that we make.
Yeah, he seems like a good guy, too. I saw some of his interviews on YouTube.
He's a great guy. We've known each other for a long time.
And Jay Davenport is on drums. He's been with you since somewhere around 2009. And, of course, the new addition, Carolyn Wonderland, on lead guitar and backing vocals. She's the newbie, and she'll be around with you on the new tour, which is exciting.
Yes, absolutely.
And is that the first woman you've had in the band?
A player, yes. You know, over the years, we've had women who were singers.
Right.
But it's the first time we've had a prominent lead guitar player, so it's an exciting new thing to happen.
You know, there's some very good women guitar players out there these days. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
yep.
the job is open to people.
Your dad listened to jazz records pretty much, right?
Yeah, he had a good record collection, good 78s.
What kind of jazz musicians was he listening to back in the day?
I don't know. It's pretty varied. The people that he that appealed to me of his collection, you know, were Django Reinhardt, really,
right.
And Eddie Lang and Lonnie Johnson were the ones that I enjoyed most.
Yeah, I you know, grew up, of course, listening to my mom and dad's music. My dad used to listen to a lot of Frank Sinatra. He listened to a lot of Mario Lanza back in the day. And then my mom was Cuban, and I, you know, grew up, she was listening to, oh my God, I can't remember now, Celia Cruz, you know. So, and then of course I got into the rock and roll with, you know, records from my brother. So it's interesting how people, you know, start that cycle of listening to music when they're young like that.
It passes from one generation to another, and you know, the newer generation always find new things that appeal to them, and you know, the whole thing begins all over again.
Yeah, I just hope the newer generations, because I used to know all about my dad's generation, you know, from the big band era, and you know, way back then, great music. You know, I love Sinatra. But, you know, the young people today have so much, you know, information at their fingertips with the phones and the internet and everything else. It's so easy for them to look up stuff, you know, even on YouTube. I just hope they do it, you know.
Yeah, well, it really made things a lot easier for people to find out what they like.
Oh, YouTube is amazing. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can go back to any John Mayall, you know, period in time and just pull it up and there you are. It's instead of hunting for an album and, you know, worry that the needle's worn out.
Exactly.
So if your dad was listening to jazz, what were you listening to? I know everybody asks you this question, but what inspired you as a kid, you know, to pick up a guitar or play music?
I don't know. There's a lot of variety in the things that I listen to. You know, the thing which I was listening to and attracted to was, you know, piano boogie woogie. My father was more interested in guitars only, and you know, like I say, I went my own way with Albert Ammons and Pete Johnson, Need Luxless, all those guys who were playing boogie woogie piano. So that was my grounding.
You must have liked. Gosh, this is what happens when you hit 60. Well, the early 50 guys, you know, like, oh my God, what is wrong with me today? Anyway, Jerry Lee Lewis and Chuck Berry and those guys as well. I'm going to say Little Richard.
That was the next generation, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about Little Richard and his boogie woogie piano playing. He was,
Fast Domino.
Fast Domino, yeah. But did you also have kind of a love for R&B music?
Not particularly, but just, I guess, you know, I like all kinds of music, so it's hard for me to pick one over the other.
What was the Blues Breakers a little bit influenced by, I know the blues, but what about R&B in the beginning, in the early days?
Well, you know, the Blues Breakers was just a title, you know, to have a band title.
Sure.
But as regards to music itself, you know, it really could have been anything.
Guys like Wilson Pickett, James Brown, Otis Redding, those are guys that, you know.
They weren't influences or, you know, that would affect anything as I did, so, but, you know, there's plenty to choose from.
Yeah, there certainly is. I asked Johnny Winter, you know, who was the father of the blues? And I asked him, I said, is it Robert Johnson? And Winter said, well, Son House, Charlie Patton were around before Robert, but he said Robert was better. Who was your, you know, kind of, who do you think is the father of the blues?
Well, I don't know. There are so many people. I think the main important thing is that all the best players, whatever their instrument, is that they don't sound like anybody else. You know, they have their own original interpretation of the blues. And, you know, that's what sets them apart. So, you know, it could be any kind of music, but it's particularly noticeable with blues singers and players.
You're an amazing guy to bring back the blues because, you know, guys like Muddy Waters, you know, all these famous blues guys from way back when, you know, I mean, you know, I got into Memphis Minnie, you know,
she's great.
Yeah, Maria Muldaur turned me on to her. And if you do your research, there was so many blues players back in the day that, you know, nobody's even heard of. And
yeah, well, Memphis Minnie was, you know, one of the few, you know, famous guitar and blues singers, and you know, so she stood out. I first heard through Big Bill Bruins' work. So,
right.
She was a forerunner of female blues guitar players, singers.
I want to thank you personally though for bringing the blues to the forefront again, because it was pretty much dead until you brought it back. You know, and we thank the Brits for doing that. It's so ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It's always
Paul Butterfield, he's another guy that, and I know you did a little bit with Paul Butterfield, right?
Yeah, I knew him very well, and, you know, we did an EP together.
Right.
So that was a fun thing to do. But, you know, he's a great harmonica player and really good. I haven't seen him in years, but,
really?
You know, he's one of the important guys.
You know, one of the guys I wish was back in the limelight is Peter Green. You know, he was such a good guitar player. And I know he's had issues, you know, with his health and things like that, but I would love to see Peter Green come back.
Yeah, it would have been nice, but I'm afraid those days are gone.
Yeah, that's a shame. You played with so many people, blues heroes, Sonny Boy Williamson, John Lee Hooker, who was one of my favorites. What was the personality? You know, people have this envision, and I asked Johnny Winter this with Muddy Waters. I says, you guys sitting around drinking Jack Daniels while you were playing? You know, he said Muddy Waters drank champagne. But what was that feeling like playing with all these blues greats, you know, from back in the day?
I don't know. It was very exciting for, you know, us, you know, just learning about how to perform blues and the volume and the way you did it. But, you know, you learn from whoever you're playing with. So
yeah.
I think John Lee Hooker was the first one that we did a whole month's tour with him working every night. And, you know, you learn a bit about dynamics from that. But, you know, they're just musicians that you're working with, and you do the best you can.
Those guys really lived it, though, you know? I mean, you know,
yeah, they've all got their interesting stories.
They do. And we thank Johnny Winter for bringing Muddy Waters back into the forefront, too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Here's a question. I don't know if you're going to remember this or not, but what was the first tune you learned on guitar?
Oh, I don't know. I think you know, my first foray into four-string instruments was probably George Formby.
Really? That's interesting. Do you remember your first guitar?
No, not really. Instruments are just there for you to play, you know. To me, they're not all that important. They're just tools of the trade.
Right, right. You're so humble, John.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I do what I do.
You set up your own equipment. When I saw you do your 80th birthday here in Sarasota, usually the lights go out and then they introduce the band, and here you are, the lights are on, and you're setting up your equipment.
Yeah, well, we like to have everything right.
I know. But how cool is that?
It's part of the job, you know. You're going to be playing, so you want to make sure that it's exactly the way you want it, you know. So it's all part of the game for me, so... It's important, and it's you know, if you're going to express yourself through music, you want to use the best tools.
Right. I think you're underrated too when it comes to keyboard playing, and your voice is incredible from all these years. I mean,
I try and do it, if the song requires a certain strength and a certain projection, you know, that's what's required. So as long as I'm able to do that, that's the main thing.
Is it hard keeping your voice in shape, you know?
Well, you know, you do the best you can with it, and I think it's held up pretty well.
Oh, it sounds the same from all these years.
Yeah, well, I think it could only get better, you know, the more experience that you have.
I don't, do you smoke at all? Do you smoke cigarettes?
No, I used to do a long time ago, but not in recent decades.
Yeah, that's probably another reason why your voice is so good.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there anything in your career you would have done differently?
No, I think it's all part of the journey that you never can forecast what will be happening, and it just keeps going on, which is a great thing. It's always full of surprises.
Always full of surprises, yeah. Especially all the tours, all the concert dates you do. That's, you know, that is so fascinating to be, just to go to all these different countries. you know?
Yeah, it's, we have a great respect for the audiences that turn out to see us everywhere we go, and it's my job to make sure that we give them a decent job.
Yeah, exactly. What are you most proud of in your career?
Well, the fact that I've done the best I can and played the way that I want to,
right,
and people appreciate it. So, you know, that's a reward in itself.
You never sold out. You you were true to the music, which is so important, you know.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know how to do, honestly, and that will never change.
You never said, you know, I think I'm going to do a top 40 song, and you know, that means you're a true blues musician, and you know.
Well, you hope that something you do will reach a larger public, but right. You don't really have any control over it because you don't know what the audience is going to respond to.
Exactly. But people appreciate the fact that you're you know, an original. You know, you stay true to the music, which, you know.
Yeah, like I say, it's the only thing I know how to do.
Right. I don't know if you there's a picture out on the internet. You probably saw it. It's got Eric Burdon. It's got Ronnie Wood, Roy Wood, Jimi Hendrix, Noel Redding, Steve Winwood. And you're all laughing at Eric Burdon. Do you know that picture I'm talking about?
I don't know. It doesn't ring a bell. But, you know, there are lots of pictures that document the passage of my career.
It's a funny picture because I've interviewed Eric and, you know, I followed his career. But he looks kind of disappointed that everybody's kind of laughing at him.
Yeah.
I wonder what the story is.
It doesn't ring a bell that one, but anyway.
Well, if you get a chance, go on the internet and look for it. It's a very, very popular photo. It's just really cool. And I was wondering why is Eric so funny that day?
Well, I don't know.
Well, your tour starts, I think it's February the 26th in Finland. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Helsinki. I think Helsinki is the first one we fly to anyway.
And you go to Sweden after that, Norway, Denmark, Germany.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Oh, wow. Italy. Then you come back in the United States. Gosh, not until, let's see. You're going to be in California on May 18th.
Yep. Well, you've got it in front of you, but as far as I'm concerned, we like to work every night, and that's what happens when we go on our tours. You know, we don't have days off. We just keep that momentum going.
You are working every night. I see the dates. Yeah. I can't believe it.
It's not really work. The hardest part of it all is the traveling. You know, I guess you would say that's the hardest part of it. But even that, I enjoy it all.
You do enjoy it, huh? You enjoy the traveling.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, my goodness.
If you're in fine company and you know what you're in for, it's all part of the game.
John, what would you be doing if you didn't have a music career?
I have no idea. Very happy doing what I do.
Are you interested in that? What do you do when you're not playing music? Is there anything that you're into hobby-wise? Or?
Oh, I don't know. There's too many things.
Do you play golf?
No, I certainly don't. No, golfing seems like another excuse for walking around. I don't know.
How about do you have children, grandkids?
Yes, I've got lots of those.
Lots of those, huh?
Yeah.
Is anybody...
My march is on.
Is anybody into music? Do you have anybody that might be a future John Mayer?
Well, I don't know. My oldest son, Gaz, has been running his club in London for decades now. Gaz is rocking blues, so he's taking the flag, keeping the flag flying.
He, what kind of club does he have?
It's a rhythm and blues club.
Oh, really? Huh.
But Gaz is rocking blues.
Oh.
G-A-Z. And you check that on the internet. internet, and you'll find out a lot more about it. But he's always been into that.
I'll promote it on my website for sure.
There you go, Gaz's Rock and Blues.
Have you played there?
Well, I've been down there.
Right.
It's a cellar club.
Right.
So right in the heart of Soho, London.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
Yep.
Have you played with Charlie Musselwhite?
No, but we've known each other for many years, of course, but we haven't played together.
Another guy that's still around, which is cool.
Yeah.
I'm originally from the Washington, D.C. area. Excuse me. And one of our local heroes was Roy Buchanan. Did you know Roy Buchanan?
Yeah, we run into him from time to time.
Yeah, that's kind of a tragic story, because the guy was, you know, another guy that was... should have made it, you know, in music, and I think he was not appreciated like he should have been. But I guess among his peers,
I didn't really know him, so you know, I can't really comment on his progression.
John, here's a question I ask everybody, and the last time I did the interview with you, I did ask you that, but now since we're on the radio, I want to ask it again.
Okay, go ahead.
If you had a Field of Dreams wish, you know, like the movie, to perform or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be? And I know you play with a lot of people, but is there anybody?
I have no idea how to answer that. I mean, I like people who enjoy music and playing to them and playing with them. So it goes on.
How about somebody? How about an old blues guy from way back? Like I don't know.
J.B. Lenore was one of my favorites, so if you want a name that just comes to mind off the top of my head, put J.B. Lenore on there.
Hey, did you do anything with Muddy Waters?
No, but we've you know, run into each other many, many times over the years.
Right. John, you got anything else to add?
Not really. I think we've covered most things.
The album is terrific. The album is great.
People will be looking out for us very, very soon, and we'll be all over Europe. So check out the johnmail.com website, and you'll see where we are.
John, thank you so much for being on the show today. Much success with the new album. Please come back to Florida, man. You got a lot of fans here.
Yeah, well, we never have any control about where we play. It's up to you know, individual areas, you know, which puts up the demand for us. But we certainly enjoy the climate in Florida, and we enjoy playing to the audiences there. So hopefully we'll be somebody will book us there, get us down there.
Well, maybe I'll get in contact with the same promoter, and we'll get you and Larry on the same show. Thanks, John. I really appreciate it.
Good. Well, I appreciate the perspective and the... Excuse me. Yeah, I appreciate your interest and keep it going.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Okay, you too.
All right. Bye-bye now. Purchase Nobody Told Me, the new studio album from Blues Hall of Fame member John Mayall. He boasts an impressive and diverse list of guest guitarists, all personal favorites of Mayall, including Todd Rundgren, Little Steven Van Sant of the E Street Band, Alec Lyson from Rush, Joe Bonamassa, Larry McRae, and Carolyn Wonderland, who will be joining the band on tour. Nobody Told Me will be available officially on February 22nd. And you can purchase the album at Amazon.com. For more information about John Mayall and the latest tour information, visit www.johnmayall.com and on Facebook, www.facebook.com/John Mayall. Very special thanks to Jane Ebden, assistant to John Mayall, for arranging this interview with the legendary John Mayall. And, of course, the dynamic duo of Doug and Not Don Newsome of BBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, interviewing the legends with Ray Shasho for the very latest interviews. It's real news, people. And don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, available now at Amazon.com. I promise you will live it. There is a trailer, kind of like a movie trailer, on YouTube. Just go to Check the G's on YouTube and you'll see what the book's all about. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on PBS Radio, Station 1.